And so again, many professed believers will not preach the word because they don't have confidence in it. They don't have faith in the simplicity of the word, the message, the gospel. They have no faith in the Holy Spirit taking hold of a simple message and cutting open a heart with conviction, bringing out of that heart a confession. And oftentimes I think these Christians forget that's how the Lord did it with them.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the book of 2 Timothy, verse by verse. Paul's command to Timothy was to preach the word in season and out of season. In today's message, Pastor Rick struggles with the fact that many in pulpits today do not preach God's word. They preach the latest popular book or what people want to hear, but not God's word. Many have forgotten that only God's word is what will change hearts. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, as we join Pastor Rick.
If you have your Bibles, let's open to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Remarkable ending, this fourth chapter. Perhaps the last written words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll read verses 1 through 8 and maybe go back to chapter 3 at some point. But looking at the first verse through 8, Paul writes to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Remarkable. When we are faced with death, our thoughts somewhat become consumed with what's going on. Those who have passed through this valley or have accompanied others passing through this valley, you understand what I'm saying. You know, at those times that Satan ramps up his attacks, he's very active. And he looks to bring fear and doubt, to break your faith, to steal as much joy as he can. Oftentimes, God, of course, puts a shield about us so that Satan cannot get to us. But there are times that Satan is allowed a longer leash than certainly what we would ever want him to have. You see, this was the case for Paul. He's not expecting to survive this imprisonment. This is his second Roman imprisonment. And he expects to be executed for his faith. And so he's faced with death. But rather than being preoccupied with all of the uncertainties and fears that can victimize him, he's focused on ministry still. He's not looking to soothe Timothy so much as he's looking to brace him, not for his own departure, but for the ministry that lies ahead of Timothy. And this, to me, glares off the pages. This man is just so focused on spending his life for Jesus Christ. And so that in this life, when faced with death, we look to the saints and we see how they did it. Of course, we look to the Lord first, always, but sometimes the Lord is so high and lifted up above us, it may be a little difficult to make the connection in pressing times, at pressing moments in our lives. Sometimes we need to look for an equal or even someone who is not as privileged as us and see how the Lord blessed them so that we'll know He'll bless us likewise. As for myself, whether I'm confronted with life or death, I hope that I am serving the Lord. I hope that He can squeeze out of me as much ministry as He can. I can't do it. I have nothing to offer Him. I'm just me. And ooh, what a bargain for God. And yet, He died for me. And so by faith, with love, because of this truth, we move forward and Satan is defeated. And so looking at the first verse, which is quite powerful, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Well, this is emphatic where he says, I charge you therefore. This is on the heels of what he had said in the earlier verses of the latter verses of chapter 3. When he said all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All that he had been pouring out to Timothy, he says, on the basis of these things, my life with you, what you've witnessed and how I've witnessed, I charge you, therefore. That's what the therefore is there for. To make that connection. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That means in the presence of God, I'm saying these things. Timothy, if we were standing in the throne room of God, before the throne of God, and I had something to say to you about serving on earth, I'd say it, just like I'm writing it to you now. I have no apologies for this, because it comes from God. And His adding to the solemnity of the whole matter, he uses the full name and title of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is His title. Jesus is His name, and Christ is His distinction. The distinction means there's no one else like Him. There's no assistant Christ. There's Christ, the Son of God, who's equal with the Father, and who became a man and a servant to the point of death on our behalf. And so he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. All humans, any human that has ever been conceived, physically conceived, are all accountable to Jesus Christ. Even the unborn, accountable to God. Because without His death on the cross, there'd be no salvation for any of them. Or any of us, I should say. Jesus Christ does not need anyone's consent to be God, but He offers that we would receive Him, and the righteous do. This is what Paul preached in the book of Acts in chapter 17. Luke records for us Paul's words. Paul said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. And then in the following verses, Paul goes on to tell us that some who heard this invitation to repent and be right before this same judge that he is talking about to Timothy, Paul said some of them mocked. Some procrastinated, and others believed. This is the same to this day. In fact, I think many Christians fear standing up for their faith because they're afraid of being mocked. And if that is you, you must strive to overcome that. God will work with you. In Romans chapter 2, Paul wrote, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Christ is the judge. He's God the Son. That's why. You cannot say this about an angel. You cannot say this about any prophet or anyone else. Jesus Christ alone. And those who have died, those who will die, those who will be alive at the return of Christ, when Christ comes to put an end to the reign of terror by Antichrist, when the Lord returns, he will judge the living and the dead. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That hasn't happened yet, but it's a coming. He says, at his appearing and his kingdom. The word appearing here is epiphania in the Greek. It means shining upon or shining forth. It means to become not only visible, but noticeable. And that will be the second coming of Christ. In verse 2, he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Preach the word. Sums up the primary role of the pastor for a congregation. But it also applies to the individual when given a chance to witness Jesus Christ. We preach the word. And we'll open some of this up in a moment. Because I know that there are Christians who doubt the power of preaching the word. So they have to go buy books on how to witness to people. And they have to think, oh, they don't witness because they're afraid of this or that. Instead of simply giving that person what they have never gotten before in many cases, the word of God. Jonah preached a message without debate, without defense. He simply preached what he was told to preach. He did not even like it. Didn't like the message. Didn't care for it. Didn't want it to work. And this is what Jesus said about the Jonah style in Luke chapter 11, verse 32. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then, of course, the Lord goes on to say, a greater than Jonah is here, and we have that greater one's message in more detail than Jonah had. And so the Lord himself said, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. What did Jonah preach? 40 days, Nineveh burns. That was his sermon. And they repented. Repent or reject at your own peril. Jesus said, unless you likewise repent, you too will perish. Luke chapter 13. And so again, many professed believers will not preach the word because they don't have confidence in it. They don't have faith in the simplicity of the word, the message, the gospel. They have no faith in the Holy Spirit taking hold of a simple message and cutting open a heart with conviction and bringing out of that heart a confession. And oftentimes, I think these Christians forget that's how the Lord did it with them. Acts chapter 13, verse 7. Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. He had enough information to know there was a word of God. And he had an opportunity to summon two men of God to preach this word, and they did. And Sergius became a believer. And so Paul's parting orders for Timothy is to be relentless in his commitment to the Bible and using it, because Satan will be relentless in his attempts to muzzle it, to destroy it. Communism tried to completely wipe out the scriptures, brainwash anyone who was a believer that they could, and they failed. Oh, and there were cases, of course, where they succeeded in little pockets, but overall, the Word of God is still here. It will always be here. I don't know that anyone has put so much effort into getting rid of other religious materials from other religions. Have they tried to stomp out the Quran, or have they tried to stomp out the book of Moroni, or anything like that? Just the Bible. Because Satan knows where to direct his efforts. And so preaching to win souls is achieved. Victories are achieved by striking at the soul with the word of God, with truth. Nowhere else. You know, we contend earnestly, not by debating or trying to trick someone. We contend earnestly by adhering to Jesus Christ. by walking with Christ. That's how our earnest contention, or else otherwise what do? We're not walking with Christ, but we're preaching his message? That doesn't make sense. Are we told in the scripture to preach the best-selling Christian book? Absolutely not. And yet many Christians do. No confidence in God's word. They need someone who's an author to really make it come to life. And good intentions, but they're wrong. It's not according to the scripture. In the church at Pergamos, they actually harbored the enemies of Christ. Harbored in that church enemies of God's word. And it was worse in the church at Thyatira. The enemy element was taking over that church, and they were quickly becoming an enemy of Christ, and he called them out on these things. Both churches stopped preaching the word. Pergamos embraced Balaamism. If you don't know what that is, you're going to have to read up in Scripture. I'd love to take time to go into it, but essentially, Balaam could be bought to side against God's people. There were the Nicolaitans and their doctrine of elitism and legalism, which Jesus said, I hate that doctrine. And then in the church at Thyatira, he simply said, you have that woman, Jezebel, who's taught my servants to sin sexually. And many other things he lists in that short little section in Revelation chapter 2. These things were in the church. The Lord was giving them a chance to be a church again. And when you read about what his intentions were, if they did not fix this, it is quite severe. God does not tell us to preach our experiences. And you know, if you've had an experience, you can write a book, and if it's juicy enough, they'll buy it. Christians will buy it. They won't read their Bibles, but they'll read that, and they'll get quite indignant if you challenge anything that book has said from the scripture. Not what the book has said from the scripture, but if you challenge them using scripture, quite indignant. Just one came out not too long ago. It was, oh, it's all a lie. I wrote this book. Christians were lapping it up. It was all a lie. We're not to preach our experiences or our emotions or ecumenicism where we have to just all hold hands and get along with devils, our sensations. This would make it a free-for-all. We ought to preach the word. To preach anything less puts you in what group? What category of Christian would you find yourself in if you preach something less than God's word? Well, the world says, and many people in churches say, preach to me anything, just don't cause me to hear what the Bible has to say. This was the case in Isaiah's day. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9, the prophet, he says, this is a rebellious people. God speaking through the prophet. Lying children, children who will not hear the law of Jehovah, who say to seers, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Isaiah, when he said that, he called them out. He said, you might not be verbalizing this, but this is what's in your heart. And God knows it, every word. And it's on record. And the prophets were persecuted for this thing by the people of God. And so he tells Timothy, don't let your guard down. Be ready in season and out of season. Ready to preach anytime, anywhere. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians years earlier, 1 Corinthians 9, necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Where are you going to get the gospel, Paul? The word of God. That's where he got it. Believers understand that we have a faith to proclaim, not a religion to negotiate or to sell or to integrate with something else. If God wanted us to integrate our faith, there'd be no encouragement to stand in the faith. Yet we're told to stand. And having done all to stand, armored up, stand therefore. That's how it's written. That's how Paul wrote it. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Don't just prepare it, do it. What about those seminaries that people are graduating from without ever opening a Bible? It's happening. It's all over the place. What about those churches where you can attend for years without ever hearing the Word of God, without ever opening a Bible? Many good Christians have no confidence in the Word of God. Does that mean they're still Christians? Well, it's not for me to answer, but it is certainly for me to fire across their bow as a warning shot and say, if this is you, if you think the Word of God is not living and powerful, then you're disagreeing with what God said about His Word. And so we don't need something profound, or something relevant, or something that is practical. God's Word is all of that. Plus, and it is a lie from the reasonable devil that comes along and says, yeah, but. When you hear the voice of the devil, that's your cue to not listen. It's not complicated. You can't go toe-to-toe with him. It'll take you out. It's to not listen. And Jesus said, the word is the planted seed. It is the very thing Christians don't want to give. Not all Christians, of course. Not at all. But many of Christians, many increasingly so, do not want to preach the word when Jesus said, this is the seed. One man plants, another waters, I cause the increase. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus speaking. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So when Paul says, preach the word all the time, without interruption, in season, out of season, it leaves no wiggle room. And so if you say, I have been afraid to simply preach, I want souls to come to Christ, but I'm afraid, I don't know what to say, I don't have a degree, I don't have a seminary, I don't know the Greek. Good, you got the word. How much do you need? Just a little bit. Just a little bit of the word will destroy the devil if God is working. So Paul wrote to the Romans earlier, so as much as is in me, knowing that the word is the seed, he continues, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. He's not ashamed. He doesn't care about me. You're going to mock me. You're mocking me. He's not going to make me say, oh, wait, okay, this is painful. I'm going to stop being a Christian. I'm going to throw it all away because you're laughing at me. He says, convince. The New King James has convinced. The Old King James, if I remember correctly, it's convict. And convict is closer to proper application of that Greek word, to convict. Conviction means we got you. The evidence, you can't get away from it. That's what the Word of God does. It gets the person. That's how people are converted. That's how come they die for their faith. That's why Paul was dying for his faith. He was convinced Jesus was everything he said he was. People avoid a scripture-preaching church because they want to avoid conviction. They know they're guilty. They don't want to face their guilt in Christ. They want to escape it, so they avoid the church. That's what the backslider does. The apostate won't avoid the church. He wants to destroy the church, so he's determined to get into the church until he's cast out the church. And so why bother with church if you don't want to hear God's ultimatums, which is what God's word is? Acts chapter 2, I hope I give you as much scripture as I can give you in the time that I'm allotted. Acts chapter 2, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, that times of refreshing may come. Repent. John the Baptist, you know, his message was hard. You vipers, he was firing it at him. The Bible says people came out to see John in the desert. Trust God's word. That's what it comes down to. Over the years, I've sought to just preach God's word. I'm not going to let anything stop me from that. I hope I never let anything stop me from preaching God's word.
You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As we mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, today's teaching is available free of charge at our website. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing ensures that you stay current with all the latest teachings from Pastor Rick. You can subscribe at crossreferenceradio.com or simply search for Cross Reference Radio in the iTunes Store. Join us next time as Pastor Rick continues teaching through the book of 2 Timothy, right here on Cross Reference Radio.